Elsa.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo, good afternoon, man.
Man, good afternoon to you too, sir. How you doing today?
Man, doing okay. Every week when we come together, I am reminded that I desperately need...
Jesus.
Well, that too. desperately, I need the Lord Jesus. But yeah, man, I need a new MacBook, man. It's getting in the way of timely recording and efficiency and a lot of other stuff. I've got this 2012 MacBook Air that I'm just very married to, and it's just been such a good faithful servant, and man, it's just getting close to its sunset here. So,
dude, that predates the podcast. You know how many laptops I've been to since we started?
You know, I know. It's 2012 was. It's a testament to like what a great piece of machinery this is. I mean, I don't want to go into Apple love fest, but like I it's just been problem free until really just the last year or so. And it's just, I don't know. I just don't want to upgrade. It's just a beautiful machine. But yeah, man, I can't download the newest apps and stuff and all that. So it's it's probably time to put it out to pasture. I got to figure out what do you do with a 9-year-old MacBook.
I mean, with any Apple product, I think you go all what was that Office Space on it?
What do you take it out back and shoot it? Bury it in the backyard. Yeah,
I kid. I'm an Android guy, but I do have. I'm as we record, I'm on a Mac computer here, so yeah. I can't.
No, it's
I can't
funny. If you've got, if you're a listener and you have a suggestion on what to do with a 9-year-old MacBook. Let me know.
Can it pipe? Can you turn it into a pipe?
A pipe.
Maybe you could melt it down or something like that.
The 220 pipe smokers would not smoke out of a MacBook, but the 420 pipe smokers smoke out of a MacBook.
yeah. And on that note, man, we've got a great show today.
We were talking tobacco today, right, Bo?
That's exactly right. But first, we want to let you know that we could not be doing so without the amazing support of our patrons over at patreon.com/countrysquireradio. Y'all are awesome, and y'all are keeping us on the air and going strong. We got some exciting stuff coming for y'all next year too. We don't want to tease anything out too much yet, but yeah. One way or the other, we're really excited about the way that 2022 is shaping up to be. Mm-hmm. And man, speaking of being excited, I've been rocking my Country Squire Radio ring, man. And what can I say? It's a beautiful ring.
Isn't it beautiful? Yeah.
You know, the great thing is, man, I had to kind of laugh because, of course, the good folks at Sylvan Forge Creations, when promoting this, talk about the legendary pipe carver, or rather, Briar from the legendary Mimo. And I was like, the funny thing is, they kind of give a little bit of a blurb about Mimo. And of course, Country Squire Radio listeners, I mean, unless you're brand new, and I mean, everybody's new at some point, so no judgment. But for the vast majority of listeners, they know who Mimo is. You know what I mean?
He's only the procurer of the best briar in the world. Yeah, right, and right. used by all the big carvers today, all the greats. And man, Mimo, of course, was a feature in Father of the Flame when they debuted that beautiful kind of documentary. And so, yeah, man, it's Mimo Briar right there in your hand, and the best in the world, of course, paired with the essence and spirit of the Country Squire, and just a handsome piece of jewelry. It's really nice.
Yeah, man. Really love to be rocking this thing. And hey, if you want to get yours, get it while you can. This is a limited series run, so you need to make it happen. Head over to SylvanForgeCreations.com. We'll also have a link directly at Country Squire Radio for you to get your Country Squire Radio ring today. All right, man. It is a tobacco talk. We are doing the work that we are expected to do here at Country Squire Radio, and that is talk some tobacco.
Smoke our pipe and talk about it? What?
I know. What? Who does that on a podcast? That works.
I know, right?
Man, I'm excited, though, because you were telling me a little bit about this company before we hit the record button, and I got to admit, I'm last week when we did Squire Select, we talked about the importance of branding and then the way in which you communicate to, who your target audience is. Yeah. And, sometimes a product comes along, a brand comes along, and I think, I see what you're doing. I see who you're talking to.
Yeah, I'm smelling what you're stepping in. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really excited to see if these guys, much like, our friends over at, Belford, if they hit the mark, kind of looking for what they're looking for, or was this more of a little bit of that, puncher's chance, like which... Which direction are we going to with this branding? That's what I want.
Inspired by Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield's ear. I know. No, man. Yeah, today we were talking about two tobaccos from a pipe company, I'll call it, and then we'll get into the specifics here shortly, that have just now popped up kind of on the market. And, you know, it's interesting. You see this occasionally. You see, you know, we'll just, as pipe smokers, be kind of going about our merry way and you know, just kind of perusing through all the old favorites that are out there, and 1,238 different Cornell and Deal tobaccos, and, you know, our favorites from, you know, folks like Scandinavian Tobacco Group, you know, Escudo and Aaron Moore, and, you know, picking through some Sutliff private stock tins and that kind of thing. And then you're just met with this fresh face, and you're like, well, that's interesting. What's the story behind that?
And a fresh face in the pipe tobacco world?
And, man, and that happened recently. That happened earlier this year. And so today we were talking about two tobaccos from the newly minted Cascadia Pipe Company.
Now, Cascadia, that is in the Hoth system, if I'm not mistaken, which is where Dark Starkiller and... All right, I'm sorry. Cascadia. Yes, of course, Cascadia.
The Hoth system, yeah. Yeah, that's where he cut open that wombat thing and crawled up inside it, right? Yeah, okay. Yeah, Cascadia Pipe Company, this is interesting. It debuted earlier this year, started trickling out on pipesandcigars.com. And you know... To be honest with you, when this happens, particularly when they're only available through one online purveyor, and not a tobacconist, but a, you know, online warehouse store like Pipes and Cigars, I kind of start scratching my head a little bit. I'm like, what's going on here? And so when these tobaccos came out, I was a little skeptical. There are five new blends under the Cascadia Pipe Company name, and they all have this kind of Pacific Northwest outdoorsy theme, you know, like the Cascadia Pipe Company. What'd you say before we got on the air?
So immediately I was like, it's kind of like a Patagonia type feel. I think that is the name of the company, right? Like the really, really comfortable hoodies, but also kind of high, little bit overpriced hoodies, that sort of thing.
Yeah, North Face or your, you know, North Face. Kavu and all this kind of stuff. It has that feel, you know, what all my frat friends in college wore, even though they never went camping a day in their life.
Right.
You know, and so, that kind of feel to it. And so, it, you know, the art is, you know, slick and minimalist. It's, you know, very pleasing to the eye. Just so happened, though, that these came out, this new quote-unquote pipe company, came out right on the heels of Pipes and Cigars basically losing the rights to distribute Seattle Pipe Club blends.
And
so I was kind of scratching my head here, right? It's like, well, okay, so Pipes and Cigars, which is it's the sister company of Cigars International. It's kind of the pipe version of that. And they're also an arm of Scandinavian Tobacco Group, which produces a whole bunch of different tobaccos and, you know, has a big role to play in our industry, and also a big cigar, manufacturer and importer and everything else. They had been the distributor for all the Seattle Pipe Club stuff. Lost that. Somehow there was, I think, some drama that kind of crept up, and they lost the rights of that to Sutliff, which Sutliff was making that tobacco anyway and still does, and does a great job. We love all the Seattle Pipe Club stuff. And so anyway, you know, then all of a sudden Pipes and Cigars and their manufacturing arm, Meyer and Dutch, or distribution arm, they start coming out with this Pacific Northwest-y themed outdoorsy stuff. And it's like, well, that's just kind of interesting. Every one of all the five blends, they're all plug tobaccos. They're all non-aromatics for the most part, or they have some aromatic traits to them, but there's not a cherry flavored blend or, like that. You don't have a, you know, oh, this one is a, you know, chocolate covered, you know, blueberry or whatever. You just don't see that kind of thing. And they all have these names. We've got Campsite, Downwind, Open Water, a Trailhead, and Vertical Limit. And we're going to talk about those last two today. You know, so kind of interesting, beautiful artwork, real kind of trendy, catchy, minimalist art, a lot of, you know, stuff that you see regularly today. It kind of evokes those other, you know, outdoorsy kind of lifestyle brands that we were talking about. It's got this Pacific Northwest right. thing going on, the Cascades, and, you know, they've got pictures of, you know, alpine forest and deer and all this kind of stuff on it.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because you mentioned the lifestyle brand, and as you were kind of describing it and like looking at this, I was like, what does this make me think of? And even though it's a very different lifestyle yep. brand, it like there's something about this, like maybe the spirit of it. And I'm just talking about the look here, okay? We haven't even started talking about the pipe tobacco yeah, sure. yet. But in terms of like what I'm getting a vibe of is kind of that Panama Jack. You know what I mean?
Yes. I know exactly what okay. you mean.
All right. Well, and again, I'm not talking about quality of the pipe no. tobacco. I'm just talking about the instinct.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what's interesting about that is that the Panama Jack series of tobaccos were also a creation of Pipes and Cigars and Meyer and Dutch and the production wing of Scandinavian Tobacco Group. So that's an interesting parallel because they actually came from the same source and were initially distributed from the same source. So you know, interesting. It's like maybe they're going back to the well of creativity. And then, because of that, I kind of wonder about, well, are these tobaccos that have already been on the market and are just kind of being repackaged? You know, are they being presented in a different way, even though they've been on the market either before or are still on the market? I don't know. I just am going into this with a lot of questions. And to be honest,
you are a skeptical tobacconist.
I am.
Right
I'm
now.
Kind of putting on my skeptic hat a little bit. And I'm trying to get, you know, bro. People say I'm nice. I'm trying to get a little more comfortable with that, right? I don't want to be like full on, mobster kind of thing. But I want to, let people know that I can be skeptical.
Okay. All right. You're not giving everybody the benefit of the doubt.
Anyway, we've got this tobacco, and I, just didn't really know what to expect, and so looked into it, tried a few, and wanted to talk about those today. So, yeah, again, we've got five different types. They're all plug tobaccos. When I say plug tobaccos, I want to differentiate that from a crumble cake. We are kind of in this crumble cake revolution right now, which some people crumble cake revolution, the current pipe world. Yeah, some people love and are, very proud of that. Some people loathe that. The Country Squire, our own 50th anniversary pipe tobacco that we debuted last year in a beautiful tin. It's a collaboration with Sutliff USA. And, that's a crumble cake. It's a Virginia Perique crumble cake. And we see a lot of that. Crumble cakes, as you may be aware, are, these are different from plug tobaccos in that a crumble cake is tobacco that typically has been shredded, ribbon cut, cube cut. This is tobacco that has been in some type of processed form and then is being kind of mashed back together into a cake in order to marry up those leaves together. The substance of a crumble cake is different from a plug. The Cascadia tobaccos are plug tobaccos. These are tobaccos where the whole leaf tobacco has been pressed into this form. This is what a flake looks like before it's sliced into a flake. It's the whole leaf tobacco. If you hold a plug in your hand, you're looking at entire leaves of tobacco that have been pressed together. So not a shredded tobacco that's been kind of recongealed. And so I wish there was a better way for me to describe that. I'm sure there's a great analogy that I'm not thinking about. But anyway, these are plug tobaccos. So it's real hard brick that is very dense. It's very handy as far as like storage and that kind of thing because it's just very compact. And stays fresh for a really long time and is just a very old fashioned way to package tobacco. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me ask you in terms of the plug revolution?
The crumble cake revolution.
the crumble
Everything's
cake
a crumble
revolution.
Cake nowadays, but we don't see as many plugs. Yeah. And so it is kind of interesting that the Cascadia
the death of the
folks
plug.
Would,
The plug extinction and the crumble cake revolution.
These are just the new, we had you referenced the Bourne movies at some point in
right,
an episode,
right, right.
A few back. And so this is just the evolution of that.
No, I got that. No, well, I am curious though, before we get into these specifics, I mean, like, that's an interesting commentary. Do you think that could be, is that coming more from the pipe smokers or from the manufacturers and the blenders? You know what I mean? Like, is the market responding to this is specifically what we want? Or are we seeing the industry say like, hey, this is what, you know, this is what we like to make?
I think it's some of both. I think it is one more wrinkle that the manufacturer can throw in to make a tobacco interesting or fun or different. But I also think that as pipe smokers, our community in general, we are getting more and more into the nuanced, the esoteric, the elaborate kind of stuff about that. We're doubling down on that, I think, kind of as a pipe community. And so, you know, that's just as a crumble cake tobacco, that is one more thing that the pipe tobacco consumer gets to indulge in, gets to enjoy, gets to talk about, differentiate themselves with. It's a distinctive that is distinct to pipe smokers. It's the art of a crumble cake tobacco. And so, yeah, I think it's just one more thing that as pipe smokers we can enjoy. You know, those tobacco leaves as they're pressed together in the cake form and they marry up, and, you know, folks are creating their own crumble cakes at home. They're using these little noodle presses and creating their own presses out of hockey pucks and PVC pipes and all kinds of stuff. But in order to take those leaves that they're gathering, pressing them together and making the flavors marry and the oils and whatnot bleed into each other so that the, you know, tobacco becomes more sophisticated in flavor. So yeah, I think it comes from both sides. I really do.
Wow. Okay. Huh. That's interesting.
Well, okay. So we've got Cascadia Pipe Company. We're going to talk about Vertical Limit first. And one thing, another thing that made me a little skeptical about these blends is that nowhere on the tin at all is any type of description about the tobacco whatsoever. Like that, there is no description at all of the tobacco on the front, on the reverse, nowhere at all. Not in that when you open the tin, there's no description of the tobacco whatsoever. Now, I wish I could say that's rare in the pipe world, but that actually we've got some precedent for that. Like they're, you know, the Samuel Gay with tobaccos, they of course are much more well known, but they're bad about this. These are tobaccos that a lot of times don't have any kind of descriptor on the outside of the can. And so you just don't really know what you're getting into. Now, those, you know, names have been around a long time, and so folks are more familiar with them. But, you know, but I bought these tins wholesale, eventually put them on the shelf at the shop. But in order for me, even the, you know, tobacconist to figure out what kind of tobacco is in this tobacco can, I had to actually Google it myself. So
interesting. It, well, I mean, of course, you had to smoke it.
Well, I mean, you know, there's that too, right?
But, this is not just a tobacco talk. This is a public service announcement. This is a public, like, this is.
I'm really doing y'all a favor.
We're doing a little extra work this time around. Yeah.
So anyway, Vertical Limit, they describe Cascadia Pipe Company Vertical Limit sets a, this is of course from the company, so it's got all this grandiose language, which of course we expect from tobacco describers describing their beautiful
Absolutely.
Work. We wouldn't expect anything
Yes.
else. But it says, Vertical Limit sets a new high bar for folks who enjoy full-bodied pipe tobacco. This robust plug is made of earthy, spicy, dark burley, smoky, bold, dark fire Kentucky, and sweet, smooth Virginias with a mellow and deep top note to give it a rich, satisfying flavor. This is a blend best suited for experienced smokers and is ideal for an evening repast after a hearty meal as a precursor to winding down before bed. If you are a veteran pipe smoker who looks forward to a good hefty bowl at night, set your limits high with the Cascadia Pipe Company Vertical Limit. And So you look at the tin. Bo, you want to describe kind of what you're seeing there?
Yeah, absolutely. So the vertical, you know, it's interesting because I got both these and you know, in both and kind of all of their blends, you've got that hexagonal shape, if you will. In the Vertical Limit specifically, we've got a mountain climber who is kind of hanging off of a ledge, rappelling by a rope. You can see the pine trees off in the distance as well as the peaks behind him. One imagines either the sun is rising or setting, but one way or the other, it is a beautiful day out there. Now, all of this, by the way, is done in very, very minimalist art. So we're talking about very flat, you know, very kind of a clean shadow style layered minimalist approach to the artwork. And that's why, you know, it looks like it would be really good on a t-shirt. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like this is kind of one of those
this is good artwork. This is really, if they've set out to really grab someone's eye from, you know, walking the aisle of their favorite tobacconist, like they've done a good job. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't misunderstand. When I say minimalist, that's not a bad thing at all. In fact, you know, I think it can be done well. I think it can be done poorly. That's not the case here. This one does kind of communicate instantly that this is more connected to a lifestyle brand. And then more often than that, moreover than that, it also communicates that it's a newer pipe tobacco. This is something that you could tell was made in the modern age, in the modern era. So if you're looking for something new, this is going to pop up, you know, pop your attention. And I would imagine it also will probably draw the eye, especially of newer pipe smokers or perhaps even younger pipe smokers for that reason, looking for something that seems accessible. I would kind of almost similarly compare it to, like, you know, if you'd make a wine comparison, like Yellowtail. Yeah. You know, Yellowtail's branding is really non-threatening. And I think, and for a lot of people, you know, both the price and the branding are very non-threatening. Sure. And so a lot of people, it's kind of their entry level. I could see this being an entry level from that standpoint in terms of like a new pipe smoker coming in. It's very likely they're going to pick up a 10 that looks like this. The question is whether or not they'll enjoy it.
Is it any good? I'm just glad that we got to invent a new word similarly today. So thank you for that.
Did I say similarly?
You did. I'm proud of you. I'm very
thank
proud
you.
Of you.
Yes. Yeah. I butcher the English language to put it back together again. I am the Frankenstein.
You're the crumble cake of the English language.
That's right.
All right. Moving right along. So you open the tin. One thing also that's striking about this tin, and it's hard to see. You won't be able to really tell this from the picture online, but this is a really big tin. And it's only for 1.76 ounces of tobacco. So it's the same amount of tobacco that you would get in any other normal small size tin, but they've put it in one of their magnum size tins. This is, if you've smoked Peterson's 3P plug before, this is the tin that particular tobacco has come in for a long time. And so it's just like, man, why the big can? Like, this is just a really large can for a very condensed small plug of tobacco. So anyway, kind of interesting. You open it up, you're met with a very handsomely packaged Elizabethan collar that we all know and love in the pipe world, and it got that kind of peel that paper layer back, and then you have this very handsome kind of gold colored tobacco plant on a you know, cardboard disc that says vacuum pack for freshness, made in Denmark. This, of course, is a product of Scandinavian Tobacco Group, and so it's a Danish product here, and then you peel that back, and you're met with this very handsome, very fragrant plug of tobacco. It's a little rectangle, very probably an inch and a half by three and a half inches, something like that, in surface area or whatever. It's just very, very handsome. Again, it's a plug, so you can see dark mottled whole leaves that have been kind of mashed together in this form. The moisture is perfect for a plug. These tobaccos are fresh, obviously, because this is an all new brand. There's not been any of these sitting on a tobacconist shelf anywhere for 10 years, like you'll see sometimes. These are all brand spanking new. And so, it's just really, really handsome. The vertical limit, I was pleasantly surprised with this tobacco. I was. This is pretty good stuff. It's the packaging is nice and all that, but it's flavorful. It packs well. It prepares well, which is very important for any kind of plug or flake. It loads and lights well. It stays lit well. It's got a nice flavor. And so we're looking at a Kentucky and dark burley blend with a little Virginias. That comes through. It's got the body of a burley, but it does have the, you know, that smoky spice that you would expect from a Kentucky blend that kind of majors on that, not the peaty side, but more of that smoldery woody side that's really really pleasant for those stronger Kentucky style blends. And so you're really majoring in that with this tobacco. It's strong, but not overly so. This is a tobacco that you know, they really kind of play that up in their description here of, you know, something that is more full bodied, something after a big meal, right before bed, that kind of thing. But I do think the focus of this particular tobacco again is going to be on that Kentucky leaf and those darker kind of thick surly burlies that, you know, just leave a hefty mouthfeel. The Virginias, I think, are present. They're certainly there. They're in the background, but they definitely take a secondary role in the blend just to make, you know, to provide some interesting little tidbits of sweetness here and there as you're puffing the tobacco. So it does, just because of its richness, and I think those darker burley varietals that are used, it has some of that kind of plummy stone fruit in the background. But I really rather enjoyed this. It's actually pretty doggone good. Just cut it up with my pocket knife and kind of shredded it up into, you know, little flakes that almost reminded me of the old Christmas cheer or something like that. It you know, really was prepared easily and nicely. Let it dry for just a few minutes before I put it in my pipe. And smoked it mostly in a smaller bowl, actually, which did great. So, but anyway, that's Vertical Limit from Cascadia Pipe Company. And it was pretty doggone good. Yeah.
All right, man. Like being able to win over the skeptic, the newly discovered skeptic, John David Cole.
Yeah. yeah. And in, until we got to the second tobacco, Trailhead.
Uh-oh. We took a turn on the trail.
We did. Two roads diverged, right? No. So, you know, I was really, really pleasantly surprised with Vertical Limit. Thought that, you know, did a great job. Trailhead, not so much. you know, similar story here. You've got kind of that flat, you know, matte-looking color. But Bo, you want to kind of describe what you're seeing with the Cascadia Trailhead?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I mentioned before, it's got that same type of shape with the exact same type of art style. But the difference here is now we're into the pine trees. There's a trail that's winding back. We are assumingly, I guess it's safe to assume in this image, we are at the trailhead here at the image. The sun again is either rising or setting.
Well, it's just so funny because I've looked at this picture, obviously, since cracking this tin open a few days ago. And all I've seen is a river. Now, I've not put together the fact that this name of the tobacco is a trailhead and that we're at the front of the trailhead and that, no, dummy, it's not a river. It's a trail.
See, I'm not the only idiot on this show. Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Continue, sir.
Yeah, not at all. It's a good image. Like, again, it is much in the same vein as the other one. But as you mentioned, there's not a whole lot communicating what this actually is going to taste like, what I can expect from this. If you had this one next to the other, honestly, I had to do a kind of double takes both times. I'm like, oh, wait, they're different? And I mean, don't get me wrong, the artwork is different, but because of the style is so
similar. And the color scheme and all that.
And the color scheme, exactly. They're all kind of in that same type of vein. And so, yeah, I would not know, you know, and I'm thinking specifically of a new pipe smoker. Or even like a long-term pipe smoker, you're gonna pick this up, and you're not really gonna know what you're getting at, other than the fact that it is beautiful artwork. So yeah, that's what we're looking at here.
So beautiful artwork and similar style packaging. You know, you've got a larger tin that same exact can, that larger can that the Peterson plug has come in for a long time, and so pop it open, and I guess I ought to describe it here. They say from the official review, when you're settling down to a roaring campfire following an activity-filled day surrounded by nature in all its glory, nothing is more satisfying than a robust bowl of tobacco. And we've got one for you that we think you'll love, Cascadia Pipe Company Trailhead. This dark, rich plug is made of deeply fermented burley and matured Virginias with a dried fruit note added to remove the edge of the spice and earthiness of the burley, creating a slightly sweet and harmonious flavor that you'll enjoy in the evening before it's time to turn in. The plug will stay fresh and moist even after opening and will allow you to prepare in whatever way you prefer. End your day the perfect way with Cascadia Pipe Company Trailhead. So you open it up again, the you know, beautiful little paper e-collar, and got the nice little kind of cardboard disc in there that gives it a real fancy you know, preparation look, and a very handsome piece of tobacco. The colors on this plug are a little lighter. You can tell the varietals in here are probably a little on the lighter side, and so, you know, you're kind of go into it with that. There's a immediate lack of tin note. There's just not a lot of aroma that is coming from this tin. It really does. The Vertical Limit was very pungent and had a nice nose kind of sting when you smelled it up close and all that stuff. And the Trailhead just really don't get that. And then you smoke it and you realize this is one of the most flavorless tobaccos you've ever tried.
Wow, interesting.
It's really fascinating. I smoked quite a bit of this over the course of yesterday and today, and I don't really gather a lot, and I don't know if it's because the varietals are just so mild, or if they just kind of missed it on the top note. I didn't really get a lot of flavor in this tobacco. We are talking about a Virginia Burley, Virginia's combination, I believe they said, of. Actually, they said mature Virginias, and so you've probably got a variety there, and the natural sugars in there typically shine a little bit. They're strong and flavorful, but the deeply fermented Burley, that Burley may have been aged so long or something that it's just kind of mellowed out. I'm not really sure, but it doesn't really have a lot of flavor. Yeah, I was really really interested in this kind of comparison, particularly after really being pleased with the Vertical Limit. Yeah, there is a slight citrus note, I think, that tops this tobacco, something that I don't know if you'd call it like a tangerine or something that's just very slightly in the background, but. But other than that, it's just a kind of a mellow smoke that doesn't really have any kind of superlative descriptors about it. I will say it. It prepared nicely. Again, it's a very well made tobacco. It stayed lit easily in the pipe and all that kind of stuff. But I'm really struggling to even describe the tobacco because I found it rather flavorless. It's just kind of interesting to me. There were notes in the very background of kind of some dark fruit that were reminiscent of the other variety that we had today. But other than that, just kind of a semi woody, mellow, very mildly sweet tobacco. And I if you had to pick between the two, I'd probably not get this one. Having said all this, praising the Vertical Limit, kind of knocking on the Trailhead a little bit, this gives me enough of a feel of what they've got going on here with Cascadia to say, let's give them a try. Let's give this a try. Brought this out. They doubled down on this feel and this, you can tell they're going after this kind of lifestyle, outdoorsy kind of theme to it. But, all in all, what we really care about is the quality of the tobacco. And, it's well-made tobacco. And this gives me enough kind of feel of the brand to say, okay, well, let's give it a whirl. Let's see what it's like. I wouldn't, see this as a new brand that comes out and it's kind of flashy and it's like, let's just ignore that because we only smoke Orlick or Peterson Royal Yacht or something like that. Let's give this a shot. I think this is tobacco worth exploring and trying out and, worthy of the pipe community, given a shot. And so, that's Vertical Limit and Trailhead from Cascadia Pipe Company.
Man, great reviews. And like I said, very much a public service announcement. I'm just kidding. It's always a plus, man, to dive into some newer products and especially ones that, I'm always big on looking for pipe and pipe tobacco companies that, there's a great thing about celebrating kind of the older style and the older pipe tobacco. Branding and everything, but I'm always very interested to see what some of these companies are doing. How are they speaking to the pipe smoker? Are they trying to speak to a newer pipe smoker, or are they just kind of resting on their laurels, which is nothing wrong with, but it's curious to me. But at the top of the show, I was curious, are we dealing with the Panama Jack here? And I think the answer is, we'll see.
Yeah, the answer is yes and no.
Okay.
In one sense, you're getting this, very planned out, very, this is not a tobacco blender that came out and they made a really a tobacco that's like a real hit, and then people encourage them to come out with another one. That's not what's happening here, right? This is the largest pipe tobacco company in the world that's seeing a vacuum in the market, and they're saying, we're going to fill that with some stuff we think people will like. And, you know, so far, with, you know, at least half of the tobacco we try today, it's, you know, it's pretty good stuff. So, yeah, give it a whirl and see what you think.
Well, good deal. Well, you know, one thing that this made me think of, man, would you consider yourself a camper?
No.
Okay. I mean, I know that. Every single time I was like back in the day, I was like, hey, go fishing with me. You did that once. You busted your tailbone
broke my
and then
booty.
And then never again. So, yeah. So, I mean, like, you know, I do appreciate that this does kind of speak to that outdoorsy style, of which neither of us really are. However, you know, lately I've been kind of, you know, the weather's starting to get a little cool, but not too cold. And I've, you know, the kids have been saying like, hey, why don't we go camping? And I'm like, well, because, you know, we're still alive and we don't want to die. And so, but, you know, there is something very, you know, kind of pseudo romantic about that mindset of like, you know, pitching a fire, pitching a tent, kicking back with good pipe tobacco. And of course, if you're doing this to complete the image, you got to be smoking it out of a good quality corncob pipe from our friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
Man, that is right. And today, of course, we're talking about Missouri Meerschaum pipes like we do every week. But this day, it's the Apple Diplomat corncob pipe.
Mm.
Just a really handsome bowl. It's a comes in a semi-bent variety, which is just very, very easy on the mouth and also fits in your palm quite nicely. It's a medium-sized bowl that still kind of has a chunky, substantial look to it and goes well with that very elegant black stem. And so check it out. It comes in a filtered variety and a bent and a straight version, and it's one of their more sought-after shapes. So you can go to corncobpipe.com, select which style you want, bent or straight, and they will ship it right to your front door directly from Washington, Missouri, on the banks of the Missouri River. Anyway, I think you'd be well... You're highly recommended to go get a Apple Diplomat corncob pipe from Missouri Meerschaum.
That's right. Hey, if you've got one, be sure to enjoy it this week. Take yourself a selfie of yourself doing it. It's a lot of selfs right there, but it's a great way to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know we appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Pipe question of the week. All right, man. Pipe question of the week. Now, this is interesting because, you know, we're doing a tobacco talk, which is highly subjective.
Yeah.
And we're kind of being presented with a bit of a highly subjective question from Joe D., also known as Jody. Here's what Jody has to say. Knowing how subjective this all is, why is Cornell & Diehl's Bayou Night the most disgusting tin aroma I have ever experienced from a pipe tobacco? I mean, really gross, like a gas station. Okay, then he gets a little descriptive here. He says, I know it's heavy perique, but I have lots of vapors, and I love that that I love and that don't smell anything like this one. What is that? And again, that is from Joe D. All right, man.
He
shots fired.
It to the gas station men's room. Well, there, you know, Cornell & Diehl Bayou Night, it is a this is a polarizing tobacco. It's a very, very, very strong tobacco. It's actually one we used to sell in bulk by itself. We over the years have not sold a lot of straight bulk blends. Like, you know, when you come in our shop, there's a jar on it that says 1Q. And if you want to buy 1Q, you buy it out of that jar. We haven't done a lot of that in our time at the Country Squire. But actually, a long time ago, we did this with Bayou Night because there were gluttons for punishment that wanted to smoke the stuff. And it's pungent. It's powerful. It is, you know, it's a strong tobacco that certainly, you know, has a very distinctive flavor. You know, perique is like that, and it can be an offensive smell. The way these different companies treat perique is also different. When Cornell & Diehl gets perique, what they do to it makes it smell different than what Sutliff does when they get perique. And you will know that if you ever buy straight perique from Cornell & Diehl and then compare it to straight perique from Sutliff. It's interesting. You pick up on that. And so Cornell & Diehl, there's a mustiness there that is just very, very pronounced. It's interesting. So yeah, Bayou Night is just you know, what's disgusting to you, Joe D, is delectable to someone out there because they've been selling Bayou Night for years and some people love it. So as my dear friend Bill Rutledge used to say, he said that's why they make chocolate and vanilla. Some people want chocolate and some people want vanilla, and there some people want Bayou Night and are, you know, masochists. But anyway.
Oh, there you go, man. Great question, Joe. Yes. Great question, Joe, man. We really appreciate that. Hey, if you've got a pipe question for the show, send it in at show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quickfire with the Squire.
Quickfire question! All right, man. Pastor Joda hooking us up with the autumnal equinox edition of Quickfire Questions. Did I butcher those? I feel like I said them right.
I think you did okay. Yeah.
How about that? All right, here we go. Porch decor, mums or pumpkins?
Mums. I really like chrysanthemums. Those are pretty flowers. Yeah, I'll go with them. I like the ones that are kind of orangey and yellow at the same time, you know?
Yeah. I was a mum naysayer for a long time. And then, like, I guess it was like 2 years ago, my wife got some around Halloween. She's like, I'm getting flowers to decorate for Halloween. I'm like, flowers for Halloween? And then she, you know, she brought out the mums. I was like, oh, those are gorgeous. Yeah, those are really nice. Right. Yeah, they pop. No, it's good. But I would say go with both. Why not both?
Yep.
I like the pumpkins. All right, next up. For the movie, are you watching The Goonies or are you watching The Great Pumpkin? And that's, I think it's The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm actually not, imagine this, I'm actually have not watched either of these movies.
No, are you serious?
I've never seen The Goonies.
Okay, dude, all right, hang on.
Like, no, man,
I only say this because I love you. You idiot! Why?
I feel like every time a movie question comes up, I have to just apologize and tuck my tail and go run into the corner. I need lots of grace. I need lots of grace.
So. I mean, don't get me wrong. I respect your you know, it's not your forte, but there's just some classics that, man, you gotta do the work here, man.
Well, for the autumnal equinox, I would say that if I had to watch one of these in order to catch up with the rest of the world, it would be The Goonies.
Okay, now that's fair. That's fair. I'm going to go with, we do always actually watch It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, every year, so I'm going to go with that one.
Good.
All right, candle, pumpkin spice, or apple wreath?
Ooh, both those sound delicious.
Absolutely.
And great. I love candles this time of year. It just makes the house smell warm. But yeah, I go with pumpkin spice. It kind of, you know, makes you think someone's, I don't know, maybe making some cider or something like that. I think I'd go that route.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to go with the apples, mostly because we got enough pumpkin spice here. Like my wife always make, like literally year round, she makes pumpkin muffins.
Yeah.
And so there's always kind of that smell in the air. So yeah, mix it up a little bit here with the apple wreath. All right, changing leaves. You going to go with red? You going to go with yellow? Or are you going to go with orange?
If it's a changing leaf, there's almost, to me, nothing more striking than an orange changing leaf. You know, at least in our neck of the woods, most of our trees in this part of the country are pine trees, actually, so we don't get a lot of change in foliage anyway. But when we do, it's almost always yellow or red. When you see an orange tree, it's beautiful. I'm a sucker for it, so I'll have to go with that.
Okay. All right. That's good. I will go with yellow, or generally no preference. And I mean, like, I don't get me wrong. Like, I love it.
That's fair.
Yeah. Get a mix up. That's what you want. And then finally, pumpkin spice on everything. Heck yes, or get that mess out of my face.
Get that mess out of my face.
You just chose the pumpkin spice candle.
I know, but I just want it on a few things, not on everything.
Okay. All right. That's fair. Yeah, I am with you. I think we have done the pumpkin spice too much. Too much. We can back it up. All right. Well, there you go. Pastor Jota, thanks for hooking us up with that. And hey, if you've got some quick fire questions for the show, you can send them in. show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, man, listener feedback this week. We got one in from the Lunting Lady, Erica Rivertree, the LOTR loving Lunting Lady. Wow, that is...
I love it.
Yeah, you know, I think I commented a while back that her name Rivertree like sounds like an elven type of, you know, something very Tolkien.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
All right, so what did Erica have to say?
Yeah, Erica says, greetings, Beau and John David. I was a Squire member on our Patreon club for quite a while, a couple of years back, but unfortunately fell on hard times and had to cut back on anything that wasn't a necessity. I tried to convince my spouse that pipe smoking and the country squire were necessities, but alas, my pleading was moot. We totally understand, Erica. We want you to eat and preserve the happiness of your marriage before you support our goofy show. But anyway, she goes on to say, however, fortunately, my optimism and faith never wavered, and I am now right as rain again. Throughout the slings and arrows, I never forgot about the country squire and its community of fine folks. And so it's my delight and honor to once again be supporting as a squire member. Blessings of generous spirits, loving hearts, and many happy puffs to us all. And that is our longtime friend, Erica Rivertree, aka the LOTR Lovin' Lunting Lady. I got it. So
try to say that like 12 times fast. Go for it.
I'm good. No, man, Erica, longtime friend of the show, and we're just so grateful to hear from you. Always love getting a note from you, and representing our female listeners and female pipe smokers very well. And either way, we're glad to have you. But thank you so much for your support.
Absolutely. Well, hey, man, this is always good to dive into the tobacco talk. And man, this was I honestly, you know, I often go in blind when it comes to tobacco talk, but like I never get blindsided as much as I felt like I got blindsided this episode. I was like, oh, he's not going to like this at all. And then I'm like, oh, no, he liked it. But hey, Mikey, he liked it. And then all of a sudden, I was like, oh, but not. Okay. So you took us. I think you took us for a roller coaster, my friend.
Well, maybe I did something today. Maybe I did something worthwhile today. I don't know. Maybe.
No, you know, it's like it's good to not just review things that are always going to get a glowing review. Like part of reviewing something is kind of, you know, just being honest and sharing what you like, what you don't like. I was thinking about that after last week's episode where, you know, we just dogged on Puncher's Chance so hard.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, what if the distiller is like a listener to Country Squire Radio? And I'm like, well, then they should make some better whiskey. And maybe they do. And maybe they should send us some good stuff. You know, like, I'm just saying.
Oh, man. I don't know. I just, I'm not going to apologize for my feelings about Puncher's Chance.
You know, you are not a man afraid to apologize, but not about puncher's chance.
But not about puncher's chance.
You know when you've been wrong. You know when you've been right. And there you go.
Oh, man. There it is.
All right. So, hey, send us your thoughts on these pipe tobaccos and more. We want to hear from y'all. You can always write into the show. You can email us show at countrysquireradio.com. You can keep up with the show throughout the week at Squire Radio, or you can reach John David at John David Cole or the shop at _CountrySquire. Be sure to get yourself a Country Squire ring while they last. You can find the links to those at countrysquireradio.com. And hey, all this information and more can be found at countrysquireradio.com. All right.
I think you got it all.
Yeah, it's almost like I've been doing this for a couple of years. You know,
yep.
You know?
Yep. Just about, what, 7, 8? I don't know.
It's been longer than that, my friend. Yeah, it's been a minute. But hey, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.
How to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.